You know, we sang a lot of songs this morning about the second coming of Christ, and it is a wonderful thing to think about. Over the past few weeks, talked about the importance of blood. Talked about how God had placed so much importance on it because it was only a shadow or a picture of the sacrifice of Christ, that He would come into the world and offer Himself without spot to God once for all of His people, all of the elect. And we stopped a little bit in chapter 9 of Hebrews. Didn't quite get into 10. I would like to kind of reread the latter part of where we stopped last week in verse 22 of chapter 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. That is a mouthful. That is a life full. It amazes me how in about 7 or 8 verses, the Apostle Paul and other writers could take us from the creation to the second coming of Christ in perfectness. But that's why the Bible is divinely inspired. That's what happens when God writes His own story, not somebody else. Amen. First, I want to talk about the sacrifice that Christ made. The Bible says that those old priests had to do it over and over. And it said that the reason why they had to do it over and over was because the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heaven could not make the comers thereunto perfect. It could never put away sin. And it says, but Christ didn't go into the temple. That talks about is not entered into the holy places made with hands. That's the Solomon's temple, or the temple that they rebuilt, that where God dwelt, where the Jewish temple was, where the holy place was, and the holiest of holies. Christ did not enter. I mean, he did enter there, okay, to teach and to drive them out and all that. He did go into that temple. But he went into a much better holy place than that when he made his offering to God. And it says that he did not enter into the figure of the true, which would have been the temple, but he entered into the true now to appear in the presence of God for us. Listen to this. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. And if he should have offered himself often, y'all follow me. I want y'all to get with me now. If Christ would have needed to offer himself often, then he would have had to start offering himself from the foundation of the world.
That's
you got it? If Christ was going to, and even now, if Christ was offering himself often, he would still be offering himself. Christ only offered himself once. He only needed to offer himself once because what he offered was perfect.
Amen. Right.
And what he offered was sufficient from to not only cover the sins that happened after that, but to cover the sins that were before from the foundation, from the foundation of the world all the way up until he made the sacrifice. And at the time of the sacrifice, to cover not only all those that happened before, but all of those sins that were going to happen until he gave the shout and came back. He cut his sacrifice covered all of the sins of all of his people for all of the time.
Right.
From the foundation of the world to the last trump.
Amen.
If not, if it didn't cover that, then he must have offered himself often and on a continual basis. But you see, that's how the priests offered. They offered offerings continually, didn't they? Why did they have to continually offer offerings? Because they were not sufficient. The blood of bulls and goats was not a just payment for sins. It could not pay for the sins. It only helped them remember that they needed a sufficient offering. That's all that service was supposed to do, right? It was supposed to be a schoolmaster to do what? To bring us to Christ. And you know what? We got a lot of people that are offering things now so that they might be sufficient in the eyes of God. No different than it was back then. They might not be slaying animals, but they may be praying five times a day or three. Or they may be trying to get favor of God by doing a lot of good things to make the sacrifice of Christ sufficient. You know what? God don't need your help.
Amen.
God doesn't need my help. He employs men to worship Him and to preach His gospel. And He employs men to deliver messages, and that we ought to love one another and to help each other and show the love of Christ to each other. But He never employs an insufficient employee to get the job done.
That's right.
You understand? Christ was the only employee, so to speak, that He, because He was employed, deployed, to come to earth to do the job that the Father gave Him to do, and He did it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He did it. For then must He often have suffered. Aren't you glad He didn't have to suffer but once? Since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Do y'all get this? Listen. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. That's not talking about folks like Lazarus. You know, he died once, and then he was raised again, and then he died twice. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about it was appointed to Adam in the law that God gave him. It said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in dying thou shalt die. That's when it was appointed once for man to die. And because Adam did eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, every man dies. But it was only appointed to that they die once. And it was because of Adam that they died. Right? You got it? Now, but after this, the judgment. Wasn't that true? Didn't they have the judgment? We're still dealing with the judgment, aren't we? We're still dealing with death, aren't we? We're still appointed under the appointment of death. It was only appointed once, and that was in the garden, and we still die. We're still under that appointment. But after this, the judgment. We're still appointed the judgment of it, aren't we? The judgment was given to Adam. He said, if you do that, then you will die. And yes, what is death? It is the sinful nature of man. What is the wages of sin? Or what sin pays? Is death. That's the only thing we get from it, right? Y'all, I'm building this up. I want to lay a strong foundation for you, and I want you to build with me. Don't stay down at the bottom with me. I want you to build up with me. Y'all see that death is the wages that we, or what we earned by sin. That's what Adam earned for you, and it's what you earn daily, because we're still sinners, right? He says, so, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Y'all know, you see, whenever you see as and so in the Bible, You need to realize that he's setting up a parallel here. He said, as it was appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Right? He says, just as that same template was, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. See, Adam and everybody after Adam, this is, you know what this is? This is the law of representation spoken of in many different places of the Bible. Romans chapter 5. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so also Christ. Right? It's that same law of representation. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's talking about those that are represented by Adam, as opposed to those that are represented by Christ. He says, so Christ was once offered. How many times was Christ offered?
Once.
Does Christ offer himself today?
No.
He doesn't need to, does he? So if Christ doesn't offer himself today, do you need to accept him today? No. Are we listening today? Are we listening? Because Christ didn't offer himself to you. He didn't offer himself to me. He doesn't continually need to offer himself, because he only offered himself to the one that was the aggrieved party. Right. I was not the aggrieved party.
Right.
He didn't have to offer himself to me.
Right.
He offered himself to God.
Right.
Because the sin was against him. He was the one that was fired up about the sin, mad about it. Christ made it right. Now, I want to get on this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto salvation. You know, I want to talk about the second time. How did Christ come the first time? How did he come? He came meek and lowly in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. He was born of a woman, born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Remember that Christ's beginning was very meager. Remember that he was born to a mother and a surrogate father that were very poor. They were so poor that they couldn't find a place to stay when they went to the land of their nativity to pay the taxes to Bethlehem in Judea. When Christ was born, where did they put him? They put him in a feeding trough where animals ate. What a meager beginning. This Christ that was born into the world from the very beginning, kings tried to kill him. When he got older, the religious people tried to kill him. When he started preaching strong stuff, the people wondered at him. And finally, when it came time, they mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a scarlet purple robe on him. And they said, "You saved others. Save yourself. Come on down from the cross. Save yourself." They spit on him. They took my Savior. And they treated him horribly. And Jesus, you know, his attitude about it was, and he went as a lamb unto the slaughter. And yet he opened not his mouth. I would have been trying to get out of it. I would have been ridiculing the people that were ridiculing me. But Christ didn't. You know why? Because he saw you. He saw me. He allowed them to nail his hands and his feet to a cross of wood. He allowed men to hang him there and to spit on him and to ridicule them. He allowed them to do that for me and for you. That was the first time. That was the first time he appeared. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The first time he came, he was made to be sin for us.
Right.
The first time he came, our sins were laid on him. And it was as a lamb slain for us, shedding his blood for us the first time. The first time he came was in meekness and in humbleness, but not the second time. Y'all ever wonder what it's going to be like the second time? I wonder about some things. There's a lot of things I don't have to wonder about. Peter says this. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Do you guide your life by what you want? That's walking after your own lusts. That's what that means. Driven to get what you want. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? You ever heard anybody say that? I have. For since the fathers fell asleep, All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Do you believe that? I want you to think about this. Are all things continuing as they always have from the beginning of the creation? No. What was our status at the beginning of the creation? We had the choice, right? Or Adam did. We didn't. Adam did. Adam had the choice to choose life, either that tree, or you can follow the sinful way, either the tree of knowledge of good and evil. These scoffers are saying that it's up to you. New Day scoffers will say that you're still in that predicament. Things are not continuing as they always have been from the beginning of creation. Man doesn't have that ability anymore. This, they're willingly ignorant. They're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store. That means that they're reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you think God will have all of His people come to repentance? I do. If God's not willing that something not happen, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
It's kind of simple to me. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And I'm going to stop it right there. He goes on into some other things. Y'all ever wonder what that's going to be like? Y'all ever wonder about the second coming of Christ? Do you ever wonder what it's going to be like? Peter says that the heavens are going to be on fire, and that the works of the earth and the earth is going to be burned up, and the elements are going to be burned up and melt with fervent heat. Let me ask you or tell you about how powerful God is. He's going to burn up a ball of fire and make it melt. Now that's hot. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's mighty hot. I mean, I can't stay out in the sun. The little ball of fire, I can't stay out in the sun of being millions of miles away without being burnt. And I tell you what, I don't want to be funny, but you talk about global warming, there's going to be a global hotness so hot that it's going to burn all the elements up, and it's going to happen just like that. And I tell you what, when I see that when Christ, the first time they wrote on the cross, Pilate wrote, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." I'm going to tell you something. They told him, "Don't you write up there that he said he was King of the Jews." Not that he is. Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." Let's turn to the Revelation. And I'd like to just get started. Here we go. John is there and he says in verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great trumpet, a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are at Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Get this picture. "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars." "And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." That's bright. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." You know, John knew Christ, didn't he? He knew him. He loved him. Whenever John was with Christ, he knew him personally. And when they were at the Last Supper, he leaned against Jesus' breast. Can you imagine how Jesus loved him? And John loved Jesus. They were friendly, and more than that, they were. God knew him intimately. I'm not talking about carnal intimacy. You understand? I'm talking about from heart to heart, brotherly love, agape kind of intimacy, where John loved Christ and Christ loved John, and John knew him the first time. He said, "I held him. Our hands have handled him. We loved him. We walked with him daily." The Word of God. But now, when he sees Christ, he falls at his feet as a dead man. "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I love it when God says amen. You know what that means? That it is affirmed. And have the keys of hell and of death. What do keys do? They unlock, but they also lock. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Past, present, and future. Listen to this. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. You know, that hit me one day. That God holds His ministers in His hand. I thank God for that. I praise Him for it. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Turn over to chapter 5. Chapter 4. Man, I can't even. Paul says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Y'all get this picture. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him, I'm going to read a little bit if y'all don't mind. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. John, get this. These 24 elders are comforting John, because John was sad. This book that was a very important book, it was not the Lamb's Book of Life, but it was a very important book. And says, and this book, I believe, is the, because he's going to open the seven seals thereof and unroll it and furl it out. And this is the redemptive history of the world. It's from the past, the present, and the future. And he's going to break these seals. These angels are going to break these seals. Or Christ is going to break these seals and unroll it a little at a time. And John wept much, because no man was worthy to open this book, to break the seals and open it up. And they said, don't worry about it, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is worthy. He prevailed. He's prevailed. What did he prevail over? He's worthy to do it. He prevailed over death. He prevailed to open it up. So John is looking for a lion, isn't he? John's looking for a lion. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. If you can count that number, try it out. I know what 10,000 times 10,000 is, but I don't know what thousands of thousands is. That keeps on going, don't it? But I want y'all to get this picture that John was looking in this little sliver into glory. That door is open right there. And I'm going to walk over here. And I'm going to look in there, and I can see just what I can see. Right? John was looking, and just that little view that John saw through that door was what he recorded there. John couldn't have dealt with it. If he would have walked all the way through the door, he would have seen glorious things that he couldn't write about. Do you see that? Do you see that once you walk through the door, you can survey it all? But John couldn't survey it all. He just surveyed what he saw. And he saw the throne. And it was just a little glimpse into the throne room. And what he saw, what he was looking for, was a lion. But he saw a lamb. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Root of David. And he prevailed to open the book. And you know why he saw a lamb? It's because, you know, when the lion and the lamb met together, it was on the day of the cross. When he went there that he is a vengeful and a strong and he's mighty, and yet his might is shown by his humbleness in being a lamb slain for his people, because his blood was the only payment, and that's why he went to the cross as a lamb dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. That's why he says in his kingdom, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, he could have called 10,000 legions of angels. They would have helped him. He could have destroyed the whole earth, but he loved me and you much better than that. Oh, but that's not it. We still ain't got to the second time. When he comes back, y'all know what it says. It says that the love of many shall wax cold. It talks about men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. The wicked are going to try to hide in rocks and say, and in caves and dens of the earth, and won't then say to the mountains, "Fall on us." Then you know that times are going to be rough. Times are going to get bad. But when they say peace and safety, I believe that's when he's coming back. That's when he's going to come. It's going to hit them like travail comes upon a woman that's pregnant. And when he comes, it's going to be amazing. When he comes, you're going to hear that trumpet sound. You know what the trumpet was for? The trumpet was for the gathering of the people. In the Old Testament, he told them, you blow that trumpet. And they had different blows for different gatherings. One of them was to war. Some of them were just to gather the people. When that last trump sounds, don't you know that's going to be a gathering? God's going to gather all of them from the four corners of the earth. How in the world could a round something have four corners? But it does, and God knows exactly where they're at. You got to read this. You got to listen to this. Then he's going to give a shout. It's not a shout of pain. It's not a shout where he's writhing in anguish on the cross like he did the first time. It wasn't a shout of weakness. Rather, a victory cry. You hear that? I ain't heard it yet, but I'm going to. Oh, I've heard preachers try to yell the victory cry. I try to yell it my best I can. But oh, it's not a strong voice. This one's going to raise the dead.
Amen.
When he comes back, boy, I tell you, I've got to read this. Verse chapter 19 of Revelation. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." That's talking about judgment, folks. And again they said, "Hallelujah." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine white linen, clean and white. It was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened. Here it is. Second time. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, just like it was when John saw him. You ever had a fire in your eyes? Not like this you hadn't. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I don't know what that name is. I know what his name is, but I don't know what that name is. Listen to this. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, get this. This is the head of an army, right? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Do y'all know that this is Jesus Christ? Do you know why his vesture is dipped in blood and everybody else is clean and white? Because we don't back the war that this is fought is hand-to-hand combat. This is a war that was fought. In the picture is, the only way that they knew how to fight war was close hand-to-hand combat with swords. Y'all ever seen some of those old movies from medieval times? Bloody, gory. The Word of God on the white horse whose vesture is dipped in blood. He's the one that went to the battle. He's the only one that went to the battle. That's why his vesture is dipped in blood and yours is clean and white. Because you didn't have any part of the battle. You just followed him. He's the leader. He's the one that led the battle. He's the one that not only led the battle, he's the one that fought the whole battle. That's why his vesture is dipped in blood and yours is clean and white. But I want us to think about this. It says that all the ones that they rode white horses too, just like Jesus did. And they followed him. You see, that you know when he comes back the second time, all of his people are going to follow him, right? They're going to follow him not only in regeneration, they're going to follow him every way that he could be followed. Physically, they're going to follow him back up to glory. And he says, and this is what John saw here, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you what. Pilate wrote that he's king of the Jews. And oh yeah, he was the king of the Jews. But he was the king of way more than that. He was the king of kings and the Lord of lords. That means that all the lords and all the kings that there are down on this earth are going to fall down at his feet because he's their king. He's Lord over them. And I tell you, he's not the lamb. He is the lamb slain. But the first time he came as a lamb, the second time he's going to come on that white horse and take all of his people home. The second time. I want you to think about the second time. Oh, man. What, and he's going to show in his times, the Bible says, and I can't remember where it's at, in his times he shall show who is that only blessed and potentate Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Why is he called potentate? Because he's potent. It's a name given to people who hold an extremely high station in this world, potentate. And he said he's the only one, the only potentate, King of kings. Yeah, he came meek and lowly at his beginning on this earth in a manger. Oh, but he's got a name written on his thigh. His vesture dipped in blood. Got a name on his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to see him bust heaven wide open. Have it to be rolled back as a scroll. The dead raised from the graves. And to be changed to follow him in the glory. Then when he presents all of his kingdom to the Father, he says, here's what I paid for. Here I am before you and all those that you gave me. Here we are. What a blessed day that's going to be.
Amen.
We ought to worship him and praise him, for he is worthy right now to receive blessing and honor and glory. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. If you have a desire to follow this King of Kings and Lord of Lords before he comes, because he's worthy, you can come and join yourself to this church as we try to follow and worship him now.